Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we begin our sermon series, Is God Punishing Us? We'll explore this question and ask ourselves what God might be trying to communicate to us. Please join us now for the message, The God of the Old Testament. Hello and good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer, I'm the senior pastor.
I'm Wesley McCall, I'm the music director.
And we welcome you here this day, this Labor Day weekend, and we are very happy to have Wesley back with us this morning. He had to stay home last time because he had been exposed to COVID-19, but now obviously he and his entire household is doing just fine, so we're glad to have you back. And you may not be able to see this, but we actually have Nancy Noyes in the house. Yay! She just dropped by and is here in our sanctuary, and we are so excited that she's here with us and get to see her in person today. As usual, we're going to be taking a live prayer request during our service so we can lift those up to the Lord later in the service. So if you have prayer requests, concerns, joys, or blessings, put them in the Facebook feed, and we will lift those up later during our service. If you haven't had a chance to give something this week, I invite you to turn to our Church Center app to make an offering. If you like what you're seeing, if you like this service, then it does take money, unfortunately. But we would love for you to be able to just give what you can, and you can do that by going to our website or going through the Church Center app. And if you go to the app, you will see that there are different lines. You can give to our general fund. You can give to our communion rail offering, which is for the Dallas Bethlehem Center this month. You'll also see, though, an opportunity to give memorial gifts for both Jim Lawrence and Walter Wilcox. And I know many of you want to have already honored or would like to honor both of those men. And just to let you know, both of those memorial funds will be applied to audiovisual equipment so that we can continue to bring the worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church live, and also then be able to have in-person worship someday when the bishop okays that. At this point, we're not having in-person worship. We're not sure when we will have in-person worship, but when that happens, we will let you know. It'll be on our church sign, it'll be on our website, on our Facebook page. I want to especially welcome any of you that are here tuning in for the first time. We sent out many more Facebook ads this week than we normally do, and I thought it was so funny that initially our ad got rejected by Facebook as somehow being offensive, and I inquired about that, and all of a sudden, magically, our ad went out, so I guess they decided it wasn't that offensive after all. I was trying to be provocative with the name of our sermon series, Is God Punishing Us? And I think it may have worked a little bit too well. Just some announcements. This coming Wednesday, we start our church-wide service on the United Methodist Social Principles. This is a chance to study what the United Methodist Church officially believes about a wide variety of social issues that we talk about here in our society. And so that's going to be Wednesday evenings, 7 o'clock. It will be on Zoom. If you'd like to be part of that, then just call, text, or email me, and I'll be happy to send you the Zoom invitation for that. We also have two Sunday schools every Sunday at 9:30. The UM Disciplines class is that's over Skype, and you can contact Mo Tanner for more information. Our book study class is not meeting this week, but we'll meet again next week to study the letter from a Birmingham jail from Martin Luther King, as well as the letter from the white clergy that was the genesis for Martin Luther King then to write his letter as well. The Sunday after that, they'll be starting a new book, Reconstructing the Gospel, Finding Freedom from Slaveholder Religion by Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove. And that book is available on both Cokesbury and Amazon. If you have any questions about that class, then just contact Evelyn Glass. And now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer through a centering psalm.
From Psalm 37. Do not fret because of the wicked, Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Our opening prayer for this morning. O God of the vineyard, you call us all to productive labor, to employ our gifts and talents for you. Bless all who work in home, field, and marketplace. Labor with us as together we build up the kingdom of God. We pray for those who are unemployed. Strengthen them in this difficult hour. Uplift their spirits and grant them a place among your laborers. May we all work for the common good of all in a spirit of faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Amen. And now, even though we cannot be in the same space together, we are in the same time together. So I grant you peace be with you.
And also with you. Prayer for illumination. Lord, we come broken. Give us a story of hope. We come fearful. Give us a story of peace. We come cynical. Give us a story of faith. We come empty. Fill us with your word. Liberate us so that we may have ears to listen for the story of life. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord will your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, both in the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. But if you will not obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments and decrees, which I am commanding you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until it has consumed you off the land that you are entering into possess. The Lord will afflict you with consumption, fever, inflammation, with fiery heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, with ulcers, with scurvy and itch, of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. All these curses shall come upon you, pursuing and overtaking you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God by observing the commandments and the decrees that he has commanded you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Around the year 250 AD, a severe pandemic spread throughout the ancient Roman world. Scholars estimate that approximately one-third of the population perished. The city of Alexandria alone lost two-thirds, and at its height, 5,000 people a day were dying in the Roman capital. Now, we can't be sure which disease was decimating the people, but it was probably measles or maybe smallpox. Either disease can be catastrophic for a population that's never been exposed to either virus. For example, 80%, it is estimated, 80% of the populations of the indigenous peoples of the Americas were brought down by disease in the first 150 years out of the after the year 1492. And this is often euphemistically called the Columbian Exchange. But during the Roman pandemic, if it was possible, the wealthy left the city. They left to escape the pestilence, and one writer at the time described the scene. On the first onset of the disease, they pushed the sufferers away and fled from those they held most dear, throwing them into the roads before they were dead, and treated unburied corpses as dirt, hoping thereby to avert the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. But do what they might, they found it difficult to escape. Now, the same writer painted a different picture of how the Christians were responding to the pandemic. Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of each other. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy. Many, in nursing and curing others, transferred their death to themselves and died in their stead. The best of our brothers lost their lives in this manner, the result of great piety and strong faith. Now, some scholars think that the Christian response to these ancient epidemics was a major factor in the exponential spread of the church in those first few centuries. It's estimated that the application of just simple nursing care in the ancient world, regardless, no modern medicine, no modern treatment, that still would have cut the mortality rate in half just by that nursing alone. And so, since a higher percentage of the recipients of this nursing care would be Christians, Christians would therefore have a higher rate of survival. And this would be true even when you take into account that some of these caretakers died as a result of their service. Now, pagan friends, family, and neighbors who received such care would also be more likely to survive, and then maybe very well may have joined then the Christian church as a result. Other pagans would have seen that Christians had a higher survival rate. To them, this would seem miraculous, and they too would be drawn to the church. And also think about it, if the survivors had lost many or most of their support system, the church provided a new family and a welcoming community that would have been a great relief to those who had been left homeless and alone after these epidemics. At the time of the pandemic, this is the year 250 AD, Christians made up about 2% of the Roman population. 100 years later, they were over 50% of the population. And then eventually Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. So, the triumph of the church over the Roman Empire may simply have been a case of the Christians following the golden rule. Of course, history never boils down to one single narrative, but still, I like to think that the act of Christians acting Christian can turn the world upside down. It's also been suggested that Christianity supplanted paganism in the ancient world because it offered a better, a more fulfilling narrative about the meaning of these epidemics as well as other of the phenomena. Even if you suffered, even if you died, your life still had meaning and your life still had purpose. So, is this still true? Does Christianity still have the power to give our lives meaning and purpose? Can it still help us make sense of things, such as a global pandemic? This is the question we're going to be exploring over the next 3 weeks in our sermon series, Is God Punishing Us? We'll be looking at the answers that we find throughout Scripture. But I warn you, the Bible is not a simple answer book. It was not designed to give us simple answers. And if you think about it, that only makes sense any book that reveals God to us is not going to be simple because God isn't simple. Well, this week we're going to look at the God of the Old Testament. Next week, the God of the Gospels. And then the week after that, the God of the New Testament. Now, spoiler alert, it is the same God, but we'll be looking at that God from different angles. So let's start with the passage from Deuteronomy that Wesley just read a few minutes ago. If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all these commandments and decrees, which I am commanding you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. What follows next is a long list of curses. It includes pestilence and consumption and fever and ulcers and itch. Did I mention scurvy?
No.
No. It also then mentions scurvy.
Arr.
This makes it sound pretty straightforward. Obey God and good things will happen to you. Disobey God and bad things will happen to you. Well, the setting for Deuteronomy is this. The Lord God has delivered the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt by parting the Red Sea. The Hebrews proceed to Mount Sinai, where they receive the law. After worshiping a golden calf and myriad other infractions, God declares that none of that original generation shall enter into the promised land. So now it's 40 years later. This next generation of Hebrews is about to cross over the Jordan River and enter into the Holy Land. So Moses is making one last speech to the Hebrews to remind them of their covenant with the Lord and the law of God, which they promised to obey as a part of this covenant. Deuteronomy, then, is the record of this last speech of Moses. Well, what follows in the Bible after that is this long sweep of the history of the nations of Israel and Judah. The people disobey the law and God punishes them. The people repent and God restores them. Nevertheless, no matter how many times God forgives them, the people keep sinning and they keep breaking that number one commandment, do not worship other gods. The Lord keeps sending them prophets to remind the people to follow the law or there'll be consequences, but the people don't listen. They keep right on worshiping those other gods, plus stealing and lying and coveting and killing and all those other things that God commanded them not to do. So finally, the Lord gets so fed up that God allows the nations of Israel and Judah to be conquered by foreign powers and to be sent into exile. So the message of the Old Testament then seems pretty simple. Obey God and be blessed, or disobey God and be cursed. So if we take that message and kind of do the math and we apply it to what is happening today, we come up with the idea that this pandemic must be God's punishment for not obeying God's law. That's how the world works. And we just need to figure out what it is that we're doing wrong and repent. Only then will we be free of this pestilence. So the answer to the question that makes it the title of this sermon, is God punishing us, is, well, yes, that's what the Bible says. And that's exactly what's being preached and taught at many churches and by many pastors in our nation today. America has descended into moral chaos, kindling the anger of the Lord. We're being punished for our sins and we must repent. Now, different pastors will point to different sins from which we need to repent, but the message stays the same. And often they like to quote these verses from 2 Chronicles. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, let's look at some other things the Bible says. This is taken from the book of Psalms. O Lord, how long will the wicked exult? They crush your people, O Lord. They kill the widow and the stranger. They murder the orphan. And they say, God does not see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. From the book of Job. Why do the wicked live on, reach old age, and grow mighty in power? Their houses are safe from fear, and no rod of God is upon them. They spend their days in prosperity and in peace. They go down to Sheol, then say to God, leave us alone. We do not desire to know your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit do we get if we pray to him? And then finally from the prophet Habakkuk, why do you look on the treacherous and are silent when the wicked swallow those more righteous than they? So maybe it's not so simple. Even though some parts of the Bible do present a very mechanical approach to God's rewards and punishments, do good and be blessed, do evil and be cursed, other parts lament that the wicked prosper and that the good suffer, and that this happens all the time. And the thing is that we know this is true. We know this is true from our own lives and from our own observations. So even though these two biblical ways of looking at things seem to contradict each other, we know in another sense that they're both true, and the Bible witnesses to this truth. We know that most of the time, if we as individuals or families and communities do the right thing, take care to be ethical, make good choices, then our lives will go much better and we will be happier and more fulfilled. We will be blessed. However, if we take no heed to what is right and ethical, if we make unwise choices, our lives are going to be difficult and painful, and we will not be blessed and will be punished by the ramifications of our own choices. And we know this is true. It's true for individuals, for families, for communities, as well as nations, and it's true for planets. But the correlation is not automatic or mechanical. Sometimes the evil prosper, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. And when we see others get away with doing the wrong thing, it can be very frustrating. It can even be enraging. But when we're the one who gets away with doing the wrong thing, we're grateful. You see, we want justice to come down on the evildoer if it's somebody else. But when we're the evildoer, we want mercy. And that's also called grace. But God does call us to live lives of righteousness. So what does a righteous life look like? And for that, we can go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Is there among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns with the land that the Lord your God is giving you? Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you and you will incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so, for on this account the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. And since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. And when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It'll be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. So that is the standard by which God renders judgment. And I have noticed that those preachers who claim that the pandemic is God's judgment upon the evils of our land never seem to identify a failure of care for the alien, the widow, and the orphan as our nation's crimes, as the collective sin from which we need to repent.
Amen.
But God's command to care for the poor and needy is shot through the entire Bible. It is hard to miss, but sometimes it can be very hard for us to see it. In the end, we just have to bow sometimes to the mystery. At the end of the book of Job, the Lord speaks to the man Job out of the whirlwind. And throughout the story, Job has insisted that he has done nothing evil to deserve the calamities that have fallen upon him. And he calls upon the Lord to answer as to why he has had to suffer. Well, the gist of the answer that he receives from God is that the interplay between good and evil and blessings and curses is simply beyond the human capacity to fully understand. Sometimes there is justice in the world, and sometimes it is we who are called to make God's justice a reality. So, did God send the coronavirus to punish us? No. But it has revealed injustices within our society that God is calling us to make right. And if we don't make them right, there will be consequences. In the meantime, let's follow the example of those early Christians. They didn't claim that the epidemics that rolled the Roman Empire were God's punishment to sinners. They just rolled up their sleeves and they got to work tending the sick and doing the ministry of healing. So maybe the way we triumph over this virus is simply practicing the golden rule. You see, I'd like to think that the act of Christians, truly acting Christians, can still turn the world upside down. Amen. Now we come to the part of the service where we lift up our joys, our concerns to the Lord. And first, I want to lift up several families that we know that are in grief right now. We, of course, want to continue to lift up the Wilcox family and the loss of Walter, lifting up Sarah and Brad and Christy and Gladys and all their families. We want to lift up my friend George DiAcenzo, who lost his mother 2 weeks ago. And I also want to, be praying for the family of Zinner Sarim. Now, Zinner Sarim is the mother of the foreign exchange student that my family hosted back when I was in junior high school from Istanbul, Turkey. So we want to be praying for Osman and Fazi and the entire Sarim family in their loss. She was a very interesting woman. And so we want to pray then for all those in grief. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, you respond, hear our prayer. So for all those in grief, Lord, hear our mercy. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Thank you. I need a prayer for that. We also want to be praying for many who are sick and recovering. We really want to keep the Platts family in our prayers right now. If you remember, Tim's brother, John, died a few weeks ago. But Rachel's uncle Tom is in a lot of pain now. He's in hospice, but he is at peace. Tim's mom Bev had a mini stroke, so we want to remember her. And then they're going to be traveling to Iowa soon to be with family. So traveling mercies for Tim and Rachel as they go visit their parents, and for Tristan as well. And so keeping the Platts family just in our prayers, Lord, in your mercy.
In our prayers.
We also want to pray for others who are recovering. Mary Wood, who is the mother of my very good friend Christy Wood, had broke her hip. She has had surgery. She is in rehab. We want to remember Antonio Hernandez with COVID-19. He's the father of a friend of Dana Dempsey. We want to keep Jerry Rogers in our prayers. Jerry suffered a stroke a few weeks ago, but she is home now. She is much better, but she still has some ways to go. And in our communion service this morning, we did dedicate a prayer shawl to Jerry. Remember Evelyn Tanner and her knee replacement, Kevin Hennings and dealing with his liver cancer. And my sister Lane, who didn't just break her ankle, she shattered it. And her surgery required 2 plates and 13 screws. So we want to keep all of those who are now sick or recovering in our prayer. So Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
There are several things happening in our society that we also want to keep in our prayers. We want to remember that in some churches, they set aside the month of September as the season of creation. So we want to remember to pray for God's creation, that we will take good care of it, and that we will be able and worthy stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. We also want to be praying. Last Wednesday, was the 75th anniversary of VJ Day, the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. So I want us to keep prayers for peace, prayers that our world will never descend into that level of war ever again. And we pray actually for all wars to cease. Wednesday, it's also been 100 days since George Floyd was murdered, as well as 2 years since Botham Jean was killed as well in his own home. His church this Sunday is having a special celebration and encouraging their young people to be like Bo. So we want to continue then also to be praying for Jacob Blake, who was injured and paralyzed by police in Wisconsin. So we pray for peace. And we also pray, for the Black Lives Matters movement. We pray for the families of those who have been died or who have been injured. And we pray for our communities that we can find a way forward so that law enforcement and our communities of color can come together in reconciliation and in a new way of relating to one another. And along the same lines, we also then want to be praying for our law enforcement officers who do so much sometimes to lay their lives in the line to keep us safe. We want to pray for both sides in this conflict. So Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We want to continue to be lifting up our educators as it's still the beginning of our school year. So all educators, teachers, administrators, and students, keep them safe from COVID-19. Help them have a productive year of learning. So Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We do have a joy that we also want to lift up. Jan Noel has joy that her new crown is pain-free. And I assume that crown is in your mouth, not on your head. But either way, we hope and we give thanksgiving that it is pain-free. She also asked for prayers that her garage door repair is not too costly. So for Jan, a prayer of concern for her garage door, Lord, in your mercy. But also a prayer of joy that she is pain-free. And I will say, this is the work of the Lord. You respond, thanks be to God. So this is the work of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And finally, for our final thing, we always want to lift up the offering that we have received in this last week, whether it was today or earlier in the week, and lift that up to the Lord's service. But finally, we also have a request for a birthday blessing. And that request comes from me. Today is my birthday, and so I have asked Wesley to do a birthday blessing today.
So my grandfather always starts out prayers like this. Well, Lord, here we are. So here we are, and where would we be without Jane's leadership during what has been a tough year in a lot of ways, especially for our church. So to some, Jane is Pastor Jane. To some, Jane is friend or sister. To the group of people in this room, she's the ringleader of our Island of Misfit Toys. To some people, she's all of those things. What I do know is that we are extremely grateful for everything that Jane is and everything that Jane does. And our church needs Jane. And so we are very grateful. So Lord, please bless Jane and keep her safe and keep her healthy so that she can continue to minister to us and to our needs and to our church. And Jane's life is the work of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wesley. I'm certainly hoping that 2021 is going to be better than 2020. I have a feeling that's a feeling that we all share. So now, with the confidence of the children of God, let's pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can always find a recording of our service on our Facebook page, on our website, tumcd.org. But you'll best be served by going to our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure, and you can find that wherever you find your podcast. Just to remind you of our book challenge for the year, to read at least one book on race during the year 2020. And our kiosks here in our church foyer have a lot of good ideas for that as well. So now, receive this benediction. Serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in enacting your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit's power. And may peace be your way in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, love your neighbor, wear a mask. We hope you enjoyed today's service and that you experience God's blessings. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. Next week, we continue the sermon series, Is God Punishing Us? We'll explore what Jesus and the Gospels have to say about this question. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead and stay safe. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church. Thank you.